good to see the good number that we have with us today, although we have many who are out because of illness and traveling. We have old members that are back with us for a visit. It's good to see the Martins with us, and good to have Melody here, and the grandchildren of Gary and Nancy, and good to see Nancy back. She's been sick for a while. And of course, Tracy's been sick for a while, so it's just good to see everybody back. We're thankful for that. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Every single one of us will be there. The question is, will your name be on that roll? Have you had your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You know, Moses was aware of the fact that God was keeping a record of names of those who, a book. And he pleaded for the children of Israel that God would have mercy on them. And if not, he said, then blot me out of your book. We can read throughout the New Testament, especially the book of Revelation. As you come to the final chapters there, that the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. Is your name in that book of life? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? And have your sins taken away? Have your sins blotted out and your name written in? If not, why not? Why not take advantage of that today? We rejoiced a couple of weeks ago when we had two precious souls obey the gospel. We're thankful for that. I want us to think this morning, as we draw your attention to Matthew chapter 16 and verses 21 through 27. It says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go up to Jerusalem to suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. And Peter took him aside and said and rebuked him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This will not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. It was a plan of God that what Jesus had said would happen to him would happen, that he would go to Jerusalem and there be crucified, killed, buried, and raised from the dead the third day. When Peter heard that, he wasn't thinking about the plan of God. He was thinking about Peter's plans. He was thinking about what he wanted to see happened with Jesus. He didn't want to see Jesus die. And we can understand that, can't we? And we understand that Peter didn't have a full understanding of what Jesus was talking about. Verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Although Jesus said this to his disciples, Peter was one of his disciples. This is one of the things we need to keep in mind here, that when Jesus said to Peter, you're mindful of the things of men, he said to all of his disciples, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to stop being mindful of the things of men. Start being mindful of the things of God. And take up your cross. It's hard for you to hear me say that I'm going to go and be crucified and die and suffer these things at the hands of men. But nevertheless, we need to take up our cross and follow Christ. It was hard for Jesus to even consider that. We know that. The difficulty of these next several hours that he was going to experience. And so Jesus said, we need to take up our cross. We need to be mindful of the things of God and not of the things of men and not of our agenda, that our agenda needs to become God's agenda. He goes on and explains, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You want to hold on to the ways of men, you're going to lose your life. But you need to let go of your life and to live my life, is what he's saying. For what profit is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his work. I'm sure that Peter and the disciples had heard the words of Jesus, I'm going to Jerusalem and be killed. I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to die. Maybe they didn't hear what he said. I'm going to be raised the third day. Maybe the shock of hearing him say he was going to die just was so overwhelming they didn't hear the rest of it. I don't know. But it's clear that Jesus was aware that he was going to be raised the third day. It's clear that as Jesus is speaking about these things, he says, again, verse 27, the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each one according to his works. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow you where? Follow me to heaven. Follow me to my Father's side. That's what he's saying eventually. Yes, not being mindful of the things of men, but being mindful of the will of God. Realize that, yes, we're going to suffer many things by that commitment. But it will also lead us to the side of God. I want to focus this morning especially on verse 24. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So what follows denying ourselves? What follows recognizing, you know, when we go through the process of conversion, one of the appeals of that is to save yourselves from this untoward generation, as Peter told those on the day of Pentecost. Have your sins forgiven. We know that the wages of sin is death. It separates us from God. We don't want to be separated from God. God doesn't want us to be separated from Him. We don't want to go to hell. God doesn't want us to go to hell. And so we deny ourselves. We deny the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We deny ourselves the pleasures of sin. We turn from that. We become dead to sin. We, as Paul encourages us in Romans chapter 6, we put that man of sin to death. We bury him. And we rise to walk in newness of life. We're dead to sin. And so we deny ourselves, but that's not the end of it. Just denying sin is not the end of it. We take up our cross and follow Him. If we desire to come after Christ, we must realize that we must follow Him. Yes, deny ourselves, but follow Him as well. Luke 11, verses 21 through 28. Jesus said, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It's an interesting passage, isn't it? When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. So here you are, whether you're the king of your own castle at home or whether you have a palace like Jesus is talking about here, and you have walls and a moat and defenses and maybe armed men, you're armed, you're well armed, you've got your locks on your doors and your windows, maybe you have a security system, you have all of those things to protect yourself and to protect your loved ones. You're trained with different weapons and maybe different martial arts and those types of things. You know, there's an old saying that says there's never a horse that couldn't be rode. There's never a cowboy that couldn't be throwed. No matter how fast you are, there's always somebody who's faster. No matter how strong you are, there's somebody else who's stronger. Regardless of how strong and skilled and well fortified you might be, there's someone that can overwhelm those fortifications and your strength and take your weapons from you to use for himself and take your goods from you and divide them among those that he has care for. What's Jesus saying? You can't trust in yourself. You can't trust in your own strength. You need to be aware of your vulnerabilities. And so he follows that. Notice he follows that statement with, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." Can you be overcome if God is on your side? No. It doesn't matter what one might do to us. They crucified Jesus. But was he defeated? No, that was a means to his defeat of Satan. We'll never lose as long as we're on the side of Christ. But I want you to notice here, verses 24 through 26. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. And he returns to the house from which he came, taking with him seven other spirits, even more wicked than he is. What follows denying self? We've denied ourselves. We've cast out the quote-unquote unclean spirit, if you will, the sins, the desire to sin. We're free from our sin. But we need to realize that we need to fill up our life with righteousness. And so, as Jesus concluded here, he said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." What follows denying self? Well, we need to hear the word of God and keep it. We need to hear it, know it, understand it, and then keep it. That when we're tempted to sin, after we've been forgiven of our sins, we are reminded of the will of God, and we make the commitment to always keep the will of God. The decision of, am I going to give in to temptation, or am I going to be true to Christ? We will keep it. We will keep His will. We're not living for ourselves any longer. We're living for Him. In Mark chapter 12 and verses 28 through 34, we read, "One of the scribes came to him, and having heard him reasoning together perceived that he had answered them well. And he asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other, there is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, for you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all of the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now we've been noticing the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, and Paul made note of this point, that all the law is fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. To love the Lord our God with all of our soul, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. What follows denying self? Loving God. You know, why do we sin? We sin because we love self. We love the lust of the flesh. We love the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. These things are attractive to us carnally. But we made a decision to be dead to those things. We made a decision to deny those things and to follow Christ. And so we need to, as we've swept the house, if you will, of the desires of the flesh, we need to fill the house with a love for God, demonstrated by love for others. So as we deny ourselves, we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Now, if I love God with all of me, how much room is there for me? Well, really, none. But that's where we find our life. Jesus said, when you lose your life for my sake, that's when you find your life. That's when you're fulfilled. And so, how much room is there for you when you love the Lord your God with all of everything that you have? You fulfilled yourself. That's what follows denying self. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Are you hearing this? And do you have a desire to keep it? Do you have a desire to deny yourself and to follow Christ? John 14 and verse 15, Jesus emphasized this over and over. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15 and verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See, there's a condition to being a friend of God. We have to keep His commandments. There's a lot of people that don't want to talk about the commandments and the importance of what God teaches us to do to demonstrate our love for Him. They just want to talk about love. They just want to talk about, well, I love God and this is how I love God. Well, Jesus said, no, this is how you love God. If you truly love God, you need to keep His commandments. And if you don't keep His commandments, you don't love Him. Oh, I don't see where Jesus said that. Well, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. John, as he was led by the Holy Spirit, says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, not just knows his word, not just reads his word, not just says, I believe this is the word of God, but it's whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know, not think, not feel, by this we know that we are in him when we keep his commandments. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. By this we know, not think, not feel, not perceive. This is how we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. This faith that comes by hearing the word of God, this faith that is demonstrated by doing the will of God. Faith works. Faith isn't faith until it works. Faith isn't a concept. Faith isn't a feeling. Faith is a work. It's a demonstration that I believe that this is the true word of God, and I'm going to live by it. What follows denying self? Keeping the commandments. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 14 through 15 says, the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. All were dead. If Jesus had to die for everyone, then everyone was dead. And he paid the price of their death, of their sin, in his death, so that we might live. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He died for all. Why? That those who live should live for him who died for them and rose again. He died for us to pay the price of our sin so that we might live for him. What follows denying self? We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him who died for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter said it this way, as he was directed by the Holy Spirit, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people. He's talking to Christians. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What follows denying self? I no longer walk in the darkness, but I walk in the light. We are all of these things. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That we might proclaim the praises of him. Luke 22 and verse 42. What follows denying self? It's expressed by Jesus here. He said, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will. I've denied myself, but the will of the Father be done. To proclaim the praises of God. to glorify Him in my life? What follows denying self? Well, in a simple phrase, it's living for Jesus. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And so that brings us back to one of the things that we've noticed already in Luke chapter 11 and verse 23. He who is not with me is against me. Friend, have you denied yourself to follow Christ? Are you here this morning and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You recognize that you're dead to God. You're separated from God, and you haven't allowed the price of your sin to be paid by the death of Jesus Christ for you. He died for you, but it means nothing to you unless you turn to Him. Turn away from yourself to live for Him. Wouldn't it be a sad thing that when the roll is called up yonder and you're there, that you'll be standing there knowing, well, I believed in Jesus. I believed in God. I just never allowed Him to pay the price for my sin. I just never started living for Him. And then it's too late. I don't know what you're trusting in, friend. But there's a great day coming. And the only one that we can trust in and have confidence in is our God and our Savior. And I encourage you today to give your heart to Him, to deny yourself, and to start living for Him. These are the words of Jesus. He who is not with me. Are you with Him? Are you joined to Him? He who is not with me is against me. And you're saying, oh, I'm not against Jesus. I believe in Him. I'll tell others about Him. I'll tell others that I believe in Him and that He's true. But the fact of the matter is that if we're not with Him, if we're not joined to Him, if we're not keeping His commandments and loving Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, we are against Him. Whose side are you on? God makes it very plain. And He encourages you that if you recognize you're not on His side, you haven't given your life to Him, God's not willing that you perish. God wants you to repent. He wants you to come to Him and to be with Him, to be joined to Him, to come into the brotherhood of the saved with a hope of everlasting life. Confess Him as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. This very day, you're here today and you're a child of God. You say, my house was swept, but I've allowed some demons to come back in. You need to sweep it again. Deny yourself and follow Jesus completely with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.